Welcome back to episode 9 of Seamus O'Hooligan Jr., a Black Irishman. In the previous episode, there I was with Fanula, my cock-blocking dad, and derriere palm reader, Luna Bottoms. She could read palms, but not in the conventional way. She told me the palm of my left hand must touch her bare bottom.
I then pick up vibrations, a physical signal, a pulsing vibration from the palm of your ring finger. That signal connects me to your past, present, and future.
My dad eventually relinquished the chase, and I found myself in Miss Bottom's home. I was in a dimly lit room adorned with velvet curtains. I could smell the scent of eucalyptus in the air while Miss Bottoms prepared herself with her unique style of palm reading. A slender woman with an ample posterior, she gracefully lifted herself from her polycotton sheets, wiggling with the precision of a skilled artisan. Her generous rear provided just the right amount of pressure to make the lines of my palm more pronounced.
Interesting. Your heart line. Wait a second. Your lifeline, it seems to cross between two worlds.
Two worlds?
I sense a great distance between you and your home.
Really?
You didn't get to Ireland by boat or plane. I see a connection to Brooklyn and Bethel, New
wow.
York.
This is unreal. Okay, see, what happened was, I was in Bethel, New York, right? And I was in the park, and I had my banjo, Fanula, and I plucked a bunch of strings.
And a portal opened up, and you ended up here.
Yes, yes, yes.
Ah, the strings of fate.
The strings of fate?
Unfortunately, the same portal that brought you here cannot take you back.
What? Really? Why not?
If by chance you did find a way to recreate that moment and to pluck the strings of your own banjo and open up a portal once more...
Yeah, yeah.
There'd be an evil-ass banshee on top of your black ass.
A banshee?
A hag.
A hag?
A troll.
A troll?
One ugly-ass succubus.
On top of my black ass.
Banshees are not bottom bitches, Seamus.
I understand. I'm amazed. How did you discover this ability?
It is quite a story. It all began with my ex-boyfriend, bless his lying ass heart. He gave me a deep, long oil massage one night, and as his hands touched my skin, I felt an inexplicable connection to his palm.
Through your ass.
Indeed, as crazy as that may sound, as he massaged me, I had a sudden vision, and I saw him naked wrestling with another woman. And I knew in that instant that he had been cheating on me.
And you were right.
Yeah, and he tried to deny it, and I was like, talk to the ass, and we've not been friends ever since.
Before I left Luna Bottom's home, I gave her a backside rubdown. No oil, because she had 20/20 hindsight. Never trust a nice button to smile either. I caught up with my pops at Pepper's O'Flanagan, a dimly lit cozy bar. The air smelled of aged whiskey and cigar smoke. The bartender, Pepper, she stood behind the polished mahogany counter, wiping a glass with a white cloth, while Pops was on his fourth pint of pain.
Well, Junior, how was your meeting with the hind region?
Well, geez, I don't...
Difficult to come to a firm conclusion, was it?
Did you call Mom?
Did you? Yeah, I didn't think so.
Name your poison, younger man.
Pepper, get a pint of plain for me, son.
I can tell. He has your knuckles.
Knuckles? Was she talking about knuckles?
They're the buttresses of your hand, supporting the delicate banjo strumming bones and tendons on your fingers. Curl your fingers into a fist. There, that's the ballet of knuckles. Their grace lies in their flexibility. They bend, they yield like a dancer on a tightrope. They balance strength and vulnerability.
Here, here, raise a pint of plain, gentlemen, and remember to toast those unassuming knuckles.
To Peppa, the bard of the barstool.
Hey, Pops, listen to this. I know you want to talk to Luna.
Junior.
Luna Bottom.
Come on, think nothing of it. See these hands? Huh? These hands get more ass than a toilet seat, for fuck's sake. It's a pleasure to finally meet you. You're the best of both of us. Diane and me. God love you.
I can't believe Fanula brought me here.
Ah, laddie. The Fanula has a mind of her own. But how did you find Fanula after all these years? A mystery.
Well, I tracked it down to a woman named Mrs. Bumblebee Thursday. She had quite an affinity for my hands.
That's Fanula's magic for you. But why are you here, Seamus? What drew you to Ireland?
Well, I've always felt a pull towards my Irish heritage. I mean, I just wanted to learn more about my culture, my history.
I understand that longing, my boy. I feel it myself when I'm away. But we have a problem. You're in Ireland illegally. And the palm reader, well, she warned you about the danger of returning through the portal, didn't she?
Yeah. That's why you need to call Mom, Dad. We have to find a way to make things right.
I'm not so sure that's a good idea, Seamus, my boy. There's a lot of history between us, me and Diane. And not all of it is pleasant.
Please, Dad, for me. I mean, I need to know both sides of my family. I need to know where I came from. Will my dad do the right and wrong thing and call my mom? Should I just stay here in Ireland? Find out on the next episode of Seamus O'Hooligan Jr., Black Irishman.
One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. It's Spy Wednesday. This is show number 267, and we're in the middle of Holy Week, sometimes also called Holy Week. Every hope everybody has a great Easter. What a show we got tonight. I want to congratulate the Flood Brothers. They're on the cover of the Irish American News March issue. Five generations and 95 years later, the Flood Brothers' legacy continues in Chicagoland. They have a terrific centerfold. Eh? Who'd ever thought that the Flood Brothers would be in a centerfold? check it out, though. It's in the Irish American News. Great story. And on the cover is Bob, Bill, and Kevin Flood, our pals, and they've been with us for a long, long time, so God bless the Flood Brothers. We're brought to you by Madden Funds, Local 150, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, and Guinness is good for you. You heard, of course, at the beginning of the show, episode 9 of Seamus O'Hooligan Jr., Black Irishman, our little comic radio soap opera, which you're having so much fun with, and Second City funny man Greg Holloman. So we'll have one every week from now on. And tonight, interesting show. On the 19th of March this week, an old friend of ours, M. Emmett Walsh, a great character actor, died. And he was on our show back in October 4th of 2014, believe it or not, the Skinny and Hooley show. And we're going to play that interview for you just for old time's sake. Wonderful, talented, heavyset character actor, M. Emmett Walsh, made a solid career playing corrupt cops, deadly crooks, and zany comedic roles since the early 70s. Michael Emmett Walsh was born in Ogdensburg to Agnes Catherine and Harry Maurice Walsh, a customs agent. He was of Irish descent. Now, that was the first thing in his bio. I like that. He first appeared in a few fairly forgettable roles, both on TV and on screen, before cropping up in several well-remembered films, including a courtroom police officer in What's Up, Doc?, Dickie Dunn and Slap Shop, as the loony sniper hunting Steve Martin and the Jerk. On screen, he demand heated up for him in the early 80s with attention-grabbing work and key hits, including Brubaker. I actually auditioned for Brubaker. Reds. And as Harrison Ford's police chief in Blade Runner. Walsh then turned in a stellar performance as the sleazy, double-crossing private detective in Joel and Ethan Coen's film noir Blood Simple. Great film. And he showed up again for the Coens as a loudmouth sheet metal worker bugging Nicolas Cage in the hilarious Raising Arizona. As Walsh moved into his 50s and beyond, Hollywood continued to offer him plenty of work, and he appeared in over 50 movies since passing the half-century mark. His consistent ability to turn out highly entertaining portrayals led film critic Roger Ebert to coin the Stanton-Walsh rule, which states that any film starring M. Emmett Walsh or Harry Dean Stanton has to have some merit. And, of course, the M stands for Michael. So let's give a listen to that, and the surprise guest coming up right after that. You may remember him from our past here on Hibernian Radio. And we'll be, here it is, our interview with M. Emmett Walsh from October 4th, 2014.
And we're back. Okay. Hey, we want to welcome Michael Emmett Walsh, starring in, what the heck is the name of the play, Mike? A Night Alive at the Steppenwolf. Mm-hmm. It came back to me, which I saw Saturday. It was terrific. Now, Skinny, Mr. Walsh has been in over 114 films, and this is radio, so folks can't, but you go to our website and you'll see his face and remember him for all those great films like Blood Simple.
And looked a lot like Redford.
Yes, he's been in many films with Redford, including Brubaker, Clean and Sober, Little Big Man, Serpico, Blade Runner.
The Jerk. Trade Time, Slapshot, Airport 77.
Yes. How about, you know what, somebody called me last night.
Unbelievable.
Somebody called me last night and said, when you get him in there, ask him about Back to School, if the Triple Lindy was for real, you know, when you were the swimming coach and Rodney Dangerfield did the Triple Lindy.
That's one of God's gentlemen, Rodney Dangerfield.
I know. I loved him. Big fan.
Well, it was difficult to be around. The Triple Lindy, you do your Hamlet and your Macbeth and everything, you know, and then they turn around and they talk about the Triple Lindy or you're using the whole fist dock or, you know, there are all these other movies that, you know, I didn't pay any attention to, you know.
Well, this is the Skinny and Hooley show. We're kind of lowbrow here.
I can see that looking at you.
Yes, thank you.
Very good.
All right, now let's tell everybody at the play. It's at Steppenwolf. It's terrific. Got rave reviews. I saw it Saturday, and it's a great play by the new Irish playwright, Connor McPherson. Go to steppenwolf.org to get tickets and get learn more about it and what the times are. But I got to tell you, it's a great, and it's only an hour and 40 minutes. So,
well, that's easy for you to say.
Yeah. You know, well, you were backstage. Yeah, you didn't have to take a leak.
No, I'm on too much for me, but I'm on enough. Curtain goes up and it plays and then you go home.
Now, weren't you right at the top standing on stage when it starts, right? Wasn't that you standing there?
I didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, I do wardrobe changes.
Oh, okay.
Good.
And he plays the uncle of this bust out guy who lives in his house with, his weirdo buddy and
Michael. How long? What was the first movie you were in, or how long have you been in movies?
I don't know.
When did your career start?
That list I gave you is chronological.
So
if you went to the very first one on it, which must be, I don't know what it was way back there.
Scorpion King.
No.
That's television.
You go.
Oh, it goes.
You make me
Calvary.
You would have to go back.
Calvary's the newest one.
Back with your first year, right?
Oh yeah. Okay.
Wow.
What was it? What were the first things?
It says Iron, Calvary.
No, it's Iron Giant. Calvary was the most recent.
Oh.
Yeah. I got it.
Iron Giant.
This would be the first.
Oh, there's.
This is the last thing I did. This is the first thing I did.
Oh, I didn't
realize. I'm sure your radio audience is loving the
week. End of the road. Midnight Cowboy. You were in Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah, I did a little turn. Yeah, I was on a bus coming up with John Voight. You know,
that he's also in Carrot Top, chairman of the board.
Yeah.
What? Hey, somebody said, did you turn down anything?
I wish I could say that, every time I made a choice, it was out of two or three things. It wasn't, I just kept trucking.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in northern Vermont, way up on the border with Quebec, 60 miles from Montreal. My father, my grandfather, my brother were all U.S. Customs officers on the border, trying to keep the frogs out.
Uh-huh.
See, in my hometown was 80% French Canadian. So if I went to church on Sunday, and didn't want to listen to French, I had to do the 7 o'clock mass. 8:30 and 10 o'clock were French sermon.
I mean, no kidding.
And I never learned it. I can't even say the Our Father now. And I had the nuns for 5 years. I mean, the only mark I ever got in my life lower than French was deportment. Yeah. I was a total pill.
And you're second generation Irish, you were telling me.
Yeah, my father's first. Yeah, I'm second generation. Yeah. They came over, the Sullivans, my mother's family is a Sullivan, and they came over maybe in the neighborhood of 1855, and my father's family maybe like 1860, 61, you know. The Sullivans went into
Canada, probably.
Canada, yeah. And the others came up out of New York somewhere, the Walshes, you know. But it was all, you know, fleeing, you know, getting out. And they were,
right after the family.
They were Cork and Clare, you know, and they were educated. I mean, you know, they weren't peasant people.
Right.
You know, and so they scraped the money, and then somebody went over and somebody brought somebody, and, you know, they kept doing that, you know, type of thing.
That's interesting. So you started in Vermont, then did you go to New York? Did you go to New York when you started acting?
Well, I went to college up in northern New York State. You know, I have a degree in marketing and business administration from Clarkson, C-L-A-R-K-S-O, and Clarkson College. Well, the of which are not too proud of me. And then I went down and went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York for 2 years. And that was after that. But I got to New York and I didn't know anything. I'd been deaf in one ear since the time I was three. I had a mastoid condition when I was a kid. And I grew up in Vermont. And I said things like, I went to New York, I want to do Shaw, Shakespeare, Moliere. You know, intellectually I was there. But I said things like, Pfeffer. And they said, what? I said, Pfeffer. And they said, what are you saying? What did you want to go and do that for? Well, Pfeffer. You know, I said, holy. You know, I said, you want to do a show? And I said, they understand me at home. So when I got to New York, I had to, you know, I had to realize that I was not going to do Shaw and Shakespeare and Moliere, you know, and I had to find out what I could eventually do. And it's a lifetime, you know, you spend a long time. And, I have no idea how it works. There are 115,000 members of the Screen Actors Guild. Right. That's a union that does
movies. Right.
I mean, 115,000. And, you know, one time that they wanted it done, there were 10 of us. There was, you know, Charlie Durning or Bruce Dennehy or, you know, and they'd come and get us. I don't have no idea how you climb over 115,000 bodies to get, you know, to get some of the work.
So most of them are
unemployed. I've been very fortunate, you know, but what the heck.
Who's your favorite actor?
Who's their favorite that you worked with?
Oh, yeah.
I don't I'd have to think on that one.
I've
watched all my life. I've watched other people work, and I'm a fan. I'm not a critic. I watch them and say, "Yeah, that's good. That's good." Or, you know, he missed there, but he's still good. You know,
Who are some of the real? Give us some of the names of the real good ones you've worked with. You said John Voight.
Well, that was Dustin Hoffman's film.
Yeah,
you know Midnight Cowboy. Redford and Paul Newman and go all through. You know, I worked with everybody.
Yeah.
At one time or another.
You know, you had an interesting thing. I was watching last night, and you compared it to a tennis match when you come on stage or when you get in the scene and you're bouncing the ball back and forth with these guys.
Well, yeah. Well, what it is a. Basically, good acting is a tennis match. You hit the ball and the other guy returns it. And I play hardball. I mean, you know, I'm there to help the situation. They want whatever it is I do. And if I walk in there and it's a really good actor, he says, I ain't going to let Walsh win. You know, and he hits it and I hit it and the audience goes, you know, and it's that's what makes the excitement, the drama of it.
Right.
And I'm hired for that. I'm hired, you know, to make those little things work. And they're not writing movies for me, but I understood my place and I understood how to do it. And if they didn't do it, I'd kill them. I mean, you just didn't watch
right
them. You didn't watch them. You know, I just said, okay, fine. You don't want to be watched? I'll take it. You know,
right.
You know, if that makes any sense on the radio.
Yes, it does.
You but play a lot of evil guys, too, and cheerfully evil. That's almost like your signature bit is the smiling bad guy.
I had an acting teacher once said that, the villain, the worst guy in the world, is still married with a couple of little kids that he takes out to the park. You know, yeah. it's not villain. Yeah. You know, and it's he's got the job where he's got to clean the pistol and go out and shoot somebody and go home and bring the milk for the for the breakfast for the next day. Yeah. You know, and it's kind of finding a way to take the curse off some of the stuff. But I don't think I play only villains. Although at one time, I looked at the end of the year and I'd done 10 movies and I'd been shot in 8 of them. Yeah. And I said, they hired me because I'm talented, or I give them a wide body to put all kinds of squibs on, type of thing.
I was watching last night that scene where you get shot in Blood Simple and you're laying under the sink. It's great.
Well, that's where they stab me in the hand.
Oh, that's
through the window. Yeah. Through the window. Yeah. It's one of the great scenes, the Coen Brothers. It's a Coen Brothers first film. Every time the Coen Brothers do a movie, I did their second one too, Raising Arizona.
Yeah, turn also in there. A great film.
Yeah, but every time the Coen Brothers do a movie, they talk about, brings my career up again or something.
Yeah.
But that's funny stuff. That's good stuff.
Now, you're kind of a good guy in this play, although you can be kind of cantankerous, but you see that you care about your nephew at the same time, which is an interesting part of the play, I think, is the lead guy, Fran Guinan's part. He's a dope and a bum, but he still has a good heart. And even your character gets into some of that too, worrying about the kid and stuff.
It's a real family Irish play. These are not cerebral intellectual giants. They're just they're just people trying to get along.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what the audience is seeing, per se. You watch it and everybody's just trying to get along and get through, and there are ups and downs to it. But they're going no place. Yeah, even when it ends, you kind of wonder, where are they now?
Yeah,
what's going to happen? But they came to me, and I was just sitting around, and the agent said, get him out of town. He just bothered us. So they sent me to Chicago, type of thing. But
we're talking to M. Emmett Walsh. He's starring in the new play, The Night Alive, at Steppenwolf. You got to go see it. It's running through November 16th. Just opened, got rave reviews, starring Francis Guinan.
Dan Waller, written by the new Irish playwright
Connor McPherson, and M. Emmett Walsh. It's good for you to come in and do this, because
I come in and talk to you guys, or come
yes,
to the play?
That too.
Yeah. The good part about it was we're not cerebral or
no, we're not
intellectual giants. I hope you gathered that up.
I can look and see that.
Now I hate to ask you this, but isn't it kind of, do you guys do 8 shows a week still?
Yeah, 6 nights and 2 matinees.
That's not easy.
Wow.
Monday's the day off. But I've been doing nothing but trying to get the play together for the last 4 months. So finally now I'm, just going and play it for an hour and 40 minutes. And
so you've been in Chicago for the last 4 months?
I've been in Chicago. This is the 7th week that I've been in Chicago.
Oh, okay. So they were rehearsing someplace else.
6 weeks of rehearsal and previews and so forth.
Okay.
And I'm an old man. I mean, I'm 70. What am I? 80 years old. And,
God bless you.
You know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. So,
well, that's why it is hard doing 8 shows a week.
Did they create the word euthanasia here in Chicago? I mean, I've been trying to buy a cheap pistol, but they're not on the street like they should be,
Oh, you don't know
they
where to go.
Someday you got to go somewhere outside.
I'm in the wrong area, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
They'll show you how it works, too.
Right.
All right, so we want to encourage everybody, get down to the Steppenwolf. See M. Emmett Walsh in The Night Alive. Go to steppenwolf.org. Terrific show.
Emmett, you got a clatter ring.
A clatter, yeah. Oh, and it also says I'm not affiliated with anything. I want you to know that I've been wearing that a long time.
Uh-huh.
But, the women see that, and then I'm out on Saturday night, and they look at that, and then they look at me, and they say, to hell with the blood, we'll go home alone. doesn't do me a bit of good.
Now, what do you do when you're not working?
And
you're working all the time, it seems.
I'm a Yankee. I whittle, I knit, I paint, I carve, I do, you know, there's all kinds. I'm a reader, yeah. You know, and I do a lot of things. And I'm also an old jock. You know, I was a par golfer for a long time.
Oh, no,
were you really?
Yeah. You know, and I played the top spot in college. I was runner-up for Vermont Junior State Amateur when I was 17. So, and I'm, you know, I lettered in four sports, so I'm still walking around looking at that. You see a puddle, and you know you can jump it, but you say, I think I'll walk around it. You know, you're still there. You know, you don't give it up. And, I'm still ambulatory, so it's, you know, I'm blessed that I'm not just walking around like a cripple.
Right.
Skinny's going to do his 42nd marathon in 2 weeks.
Really?
Is it the 42nd?
A week and a half.
The times are starting to go the other way, are they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're real fast. Yeah. Real fast.
The 42, huh? Wow, that's... Yeah, I always want to do one. At one time, I thought I could drink if I did 10 Ks in 10 weeks, figuring if I did a 10K, then I could drink all the beer I wanted, you know. But I always wanted to do a marathon, and I never got up to it.
Oh, it's great. There's a huge amount of people. There's 45,000 people that come here.
Yeah.
You should come down and watch it.
It's a Chicago marathon?
Right, yes. Chicago marathon. Well, October 12th.
Yeah, it's one of the biggies. Yeah. Now, did you go under 3 hours?
No, I never got up. But I got to 3:01.
Wow. When was that, Skin?
It was many years ago. Oh, and then I did 3:03 in Boston. So. Yeah. 3:03, 3:01 in Chicago, 3:03 in Boston. Man, 3:01, 3:03, 3:04, 3:05.
Now I'm old and slow. 3:01 and 3:03. Where did that put you in the whole?
Well, it put probably in the top 3 or 4% or something.
Well,
like
really? That far up, huh? Wow,
yeah.
That's good.
It was very good. But that's when I was fast.
He's part Kenyan.
Like President Obama.
But
I can see. You know, no, he's only 4'2" and he weighs 87 pounds. Yeah,
right.
Like, what the hell? He almost floats.
No, but it's good for controlling my vices. You know what I mean? If you're going to do a marathon, you got to behave.
Looking at you, I can't think you have any vices at all. Who would pick up on it?
Now, tell us about what's it? Calvary? Is that what the name of it?
Yeah, that's the one with Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah. Did you shoot that in Ireland?
Brendan Gleeson's quite a character.
He plays a Catholic priest. He's been married before, has a daughter. It's a really interesting movie. And it might get some attention when they come down.
He's a terrific actor, Brendan Gleeson, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very big over there.
Yes.
You know, I saw a film that he did up in northern New England or Nova Scotia or something back earlier in the season, back in April or May. I don't know what it was called. But Brendan's, you know, a big power over there. And he's got a son. His son's in the movie, and his son is a very fine actor, you know. Uh-huh. But it's a very Irish type of, it's a revenge type of movie.
Uh-huh.
You know? And
who do you play? His pal?
I have no idea why they came and got me. They brought me over there, and I did. I played an American-Irish playwright.
Oh, okay.
Not playwright, a novelist. I was over there writing books, and he would come and we'd talk and do all this stuff, you know. But it was interesting. And also, I was over there for two, 3 months, you know. Wow. So I got a chance, and I was over on the West Coast, type of thing.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. It's hard for me to describe the film. It's very well acted, and as I say, Brendan could get a nomination out of it. But those things are all publicity, and the Motion Picture Academy, this and that. You never know what's going to happen by the time you get to everybody's got their own film in by December 31st. You know. So if you come out in June, you know, the movie's forgotten by the time other big ones come out.
Right.
Come out in November and December, so you never know what's happened. But it's an interesting film, you know.
Now, have you ever put together a clip of all your stuff? That would take hours, I would think, right?
I have a press agent that does all that.
Oh, okay.
You said you looked at something. Oh, you didn't see a clip. But they used to do the clip, and you had the actual reel. You know, I had the little thing, you know. you know, I had those at one time or another. There was a drama, there was a comedy, you know, the whole thing.
Oh, sure. For the,
you know, there were, you know, there'd be 8 or 10 films taking, you know, 18 or 20 minutes or something, you know.
I was also watching part of The Jerk last night when you were shooting
He's shooting the cans. You know, it's one of Steve Martin's favorite films, you know, it's early on. He just had a play open down there in San Diego, Steve Martin. There's a play he wrote that just opened. I just was reading reviews in the New York Times.
Now, I liked him better when he was a little bit crazy like that, the jerk. Then he all of a sudden he's got sophisticated.
Yeah, he's incredibly smart.
I'm sure he is.
And
I loved him in My Blue Heaven.
He knows a lot about a lot of things. He, you know, of course, there's the music and everything too. But he knows a lot about painting. And a friend of mine said he bought a painting, you know, what everyone said, you were crazy. He paid $2 million for it or something, you know, and everybody says you're crazy. It was a hopper.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a hopper, and they just sold it for like $28 million or something. Wow. You know,
right.
Like, yeah, but he knows, he, you know, and then he puts it in, buys something else. It's not like, you know,
sure.
That whole thing. But, and nice to have known him. If we cross, I can say hi, and he'll say hi. You know, that's.
Now, where is your home right now?
I live in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Area called Culver City, right by the LA airport.
Oh, Culver
airport.
City, sure.
Yeah, airport. And I've been there for a long time. And I kept an apartment in New York for a long time. I had a co-op in Manhattan, 45th Street. And I have a house in two summer places side by side up on Lake Champlain in Vermont.
Just
56 miles from Montreal. With, you know, that's the whole background's up there.
Right.
So all the relatives that are not in the box are up there in Vermont. You know, when I see them. I'm women have looked at me, as I said, for, you know, for 80 years and said to hell with them. So it's me and the cat, Fluffy. That's my life.
I was just going to ask. I mean, you're still a movie star. Don't you get young chicks hitting on you all the time?
I hate to dispel that, but
you're open to that.
I had a couple women maybe I should have married I didn't. A couple women that I wanted to marry that said no. So you end up. But it's difficult if you. In the beginning, you want it so bad. You know, you're studying. You don't know anything. And if there's that little girl and the little baby in the linoleum floor and you say, honey, I got to go up to Nova Scotia. They're doing a production of The Potting Shed. And, I'll be gone for 8 weeks. You keep doing that.
Yeah.
No civilian can live with you.
Right,
you know, eventually, you know. And if it's two actors living together, you eventually, one is up and one is down.
Yeah,
and
the
whole relationship goes crazy with that, too.
Oh,
you know, and so it's very difficult to be around these people.
Right.
You
right.
know, and I accept that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've won some. I've won more than I've lost, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I have no regrets, you know. And here I am in Chicago, and, you know, they want to interview me, but not let my face be seen.
That's why you're on the
radio.
It's
a familiar lament. We have that same problem.
Yeah. I want to encourage everybody, go see The Night Alive at Steppenwolf, starring our friend now, M. Emmett Walsh. It's running through November 26th. Is it November 16th? November 16th. Go to steppenwolf.org. It's a great play, Irish play, by Connor McPherson. And you'll dig it. It's really good, and it's great to see you on stage as well as in film and everything. And any words for our audience and people in Chicago, the Irish-American community in Chicago, you want to tell them anything before you?
No, I can't help you.
Well, that last
bit.
Well,
we really appreciate you coming on the show, and we look forward to seeing the play at Steppenwolf. And I know.
Are you going to go to it?
Yes.
But you do it before the marathon or after the marathon?
It depends on how I feel after the marathon. Probably
you
after.
You got till November 16th.
You might need the whole 7 weeks. Huh?
You might better wait till we get back from Ireland.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much for joining us.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on,
Mike
fellas.
Walsh from Vermont.
Mike Walsh from Swanton, Vermont. His parents were from St. Albans.
All right.
Okay. Good. Thanks.
God thanks bless so you, much and good
Mr.
luck.
Walsh, thanks so much for coming. And we'll be right back on the Skinny and Hooley Show after these words from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, folks, don't go just yet. Grandpa will be back. Mike? Who's Mike? Oh, that's his name? I didn't even know he had a name. I thought it was just Grandpa. All right, well, we'll be right back on Hibernian Radio with Mike Houlihan.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Cops and firefighters risk their lives almost every day, so they shouldn't have to risk their hard-earned dough in any get-rich schemes or the blather of old pals in the real estate biz. And good luck trying to figure out the stock market or cryptocurrency or even economics 101 when you come home exhausted at the end of your shift. What you need is somebody you can trust, and they're in short supply these days. Hey, take it from me. I've lost fortunes in showbiz because I thought I was smarter than everybody else, and I wound up bankrupt and broke. It took me a long time to decide to find a friend I could trust who had my family's best interests at heart. That friend was my late pal, Joe Madden. I met him as he passed the basket at St. Luke's, and I'd turn my pockets inside out as he came to my pew, and I'd say, "I'm tapioca." He laughed, but didn't stop him from supporting my films and showbiz endeavors over the years. Joe Madden had my back. A few years before he died, Joe started Madden Funds with his sons, Mike and Danny. The Maddens and Houlihans have been pals for a long, long time. They can advise the best path for your investments. Madden Funds will have your back, too. Need advice on your 401k or your rollover IRA? You can trust Madden Funds to help you protect and grow your investments now and in your family's future. Go to their website, maddenfunds.com. Or call Mike or Dan Madden at 708-848-3200 and tell them who Lee sent you.
It's the Skinny and Hooli Show.
Oh, that's you, Hooli. Skinny, is that you? Hey, we're on the air right now, Skin. We're listening to that great interview with M. Emmett Walsh. God rest his soul. He died March 19th.
Yeah, three days before his birthday, his 89th birthday.
Oh, was it his birthday? Oh, my God. Oh,
three
yeah.
days before, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was pretty nice of him to do that for us over at the Forking Ferry up in the party room. And what a guy. Amazing
what
character.
What an amazing guy. I mean, the movies and the
Now, TV before
shows.
We get into that, You had a news flash for us, right?
Yeah.
The Cook County State's Attorney's race, lay it on me. What happened?
Yeah, they finished the counties counting today, except for the provisional ballots. Those they should split 50-50. They always do. But, Eileen O'Neill Burke won.
Yeah.
She picked up by 1,650 votes. She picked up votes today.
Wow.
And, so it's a very, very good thing for the people, all the people in Chicago.
All the people of Cook County.
Yeah. In Cook County. If you can restore a little sanity to the justice system, you know, I saw that policeman in New York that got
who
killed.
Was murdered. Yeah, I saw
he was
that.
Murdered in, and Trump is going to his funeral tomorrow.
Of course he is. Yeah, that's a good move.
Yeah.
Hey, I did you ever hook up with William Kelly the other night?
Yes, I did.
He did a hell of an interview with that guy, Beavers, from the communications director of the
of the Board of Elections. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see it. Yeah, unbelievable.
Okay.
That's why I called him. Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
He is.
The election was very interesting. It's for the first time in a long time, the good guys won. So we got to.
Now, you and Baby Al had an election in Naples, right? Just recently.
Right. And Teresa Heitman was running for mayor. And we got a lot of the people that worked on that campaign to go door to door because we were outspent 10-1.
Yeah,
saw anything like it. You couldn't turn on the radio down here or the TV without their commercials being on.
Oh, wow.
We didn't do any commercials, but we got everybody to go door to door. That's the way you got to beat them. And she won by 22 votes.
Unbelievable. That's terrific. Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. So when are you coming back? You've never stayed there this long.
I'm leaving on Friday morning.
Are you really? Are you driving back?
Yeah. I should get back by Saturday.
And the kids coming back with you, or don't you?
Yeah,
you,
my daughter Peggy's riding with me. Thank
God. Oh, that's good. Peggy's a good,
a great co-pilot.
Yeah. So, how long of a drive is?
That's 22 hours.
You don't go straight through, though.
No. We go about, we'll try to do 13 and 9 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The first day we try to get up. Leave at 5 a.m. and just go as far as we can.
Yeah.
So we'll see where.
And you're leaving. Be careful. Safe home.
Yeah, it's a busy weekend because of Easter.
Oh, so you're going to be back by Easter, you think?
We'll be back. Yeah. We'll be back.
Oh, good for you. Okay.
Holy Saturday or whatever they call it. Is it?
Yeah. It was great to listen to, Emmett Walsh again,
what a good guy! When you see his body of work,
it's amazing.
Like 150 TV shows and over 225 movies, and
They
said that he was just the best character actor you've ever
seen. Never lost his Irish roots either. He knew all about it. He was Irish,
Just an interesting guy, though. I mean, to have that longevity. He didn't start going into acting until he was 44 years old.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of interesting, And then
he was very interesting. He got a little melancholy about romances that didn't work out and stuff. But anyway, I'm here with Patty Houlihan and Bill Wooten. And
how are the boys doing?
The boys are great. I don't want to give too much away, but we have a new spot where we do the show. It's called The Bunker. That's all. You're certainly welcome to come by when you get back. Yeah. It's in River Forest.
I have to do that.
Hang out.
Do you have a password to get in there and stuff?
Yes. You have to have several passwords.
Okay.
See,
great.
I don't know about you. This password crap is starting to drive me nuts. I had a notebook where I wrote them all down. It's like, this is insane, man.
Now the Clear Blue, you want to go to Google or something, give us your password. I'm like, how the heck do I got 17 passwords.
I know, it's insane. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I think, Skinny, it's because we are old.
That's right.
It's just part of being old. Yeah. Now, I don't know if I told you this, but Pete Nolan and Denny Kearns and I are being honored in Buffalo, New York on April 26th for the Irish American Heroes Awards. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah, you mentioned it, but that's great.
Okay.
When do you go? Do you go to New York?
No, I'm flying to Buffalo on the 25th.
That's pretty cool.
It'll be interesting. But
is Pete going?
Pete grew up in Buffalo, so Pete's meeting us there. And then Denny Kearns is flying in from Austin, so it's going to be a wacky 3 days in Buffalo.
The boys better behave. You're not youngsters anymore.
Tell me about it. I know. Anyway, I wanted to reminisce a little bit with you. Yeah, when you get back here, come on the show, will you, at the bunker?
Yes, I will. I'd love to.
Hang on. Let me just check something. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay. We need, how about 3 more minutes of skinny? All right. So you've been there since Christmas, right?
Well, January 1st. Yeah.
That's the best way to do it. January, February, March, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, after a while, the last month was kind of dragged along a little bit. You know, I wanted to be back for St. Patrick's Day and the election, but I had to get some skin stuff down here with the skin
bleaching
stuff. Yeah. So anyways.
Yeah, you feeling good? Everything good, though? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling great, except I'm old, you know. I don't have to tell you. Every day it's something new.
Yeah, tell me about it.
You get up and you go, oh, my God, what's that?
Tell me about it.
Anyways.
All right, pal.
Still having fun, though. Well, be nice to Billy.
Still having fun. That's the whole idea.
Tell Billy I said hello.
Billy Wooten, Rootin' Tootin', Billy Wooten, Patty Houlihan, they both say hi. All right, so and when you get back, let's reconnoiter and have you over to the bunker for a show. Cool?
I will. And by the way, you and Billy, this marriage is lasting longer than most marriages in the United States.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's like 15 years. Billy Wooten, how long have we been working together? 15 years. Amazing.
Holy cow.
Oh yeah, we're sick of each other. It
only
feels like 15 minutes, he says. Underwater. Yeah, that's the old joke. Yeah. Anyway, so he's
all right.
All right, Skin. God bless you. Safe home. Yep.
All right. God bless you. Have a great
thanks
Easter.
So much.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
You too. Yeah, happy Easter. Okay, thanks. Skinny Skin from Naples, Florida. Thanks, Skin.
And hey, what about that guy, Skinny? Huh? He'll be back when he gets home to Chicago. But it's so great to hear his voice again, and that's something we shared, that interview with the one and only M. Emmett Walsh. We have many. We did that show for about 8 or 9 years, I think. So, 10 years? Wow. Okay, man, I'm old. All right, I want to remind everyone. So check out the Irish American News for that great story on the Flood Brothers. Our pails, they're right on the cover, and. I want to remind everybody, Emerald Society of Illinois has their annual Southside meeting coming up. I want to also give props to my pal Jeff Lang for their great, well, Billy Wooten was there with me, the day of the parade. They had a great party over at 399 Hall. It was a lot of fun, and I sold a lot of books and just had a blast. But coming up Thursday, April 25th at the Cork and Carry in Beverly, the Emerald Society of Illinois is their annual Southside meeting, 10614 South Western Avenue at 7 p.m., They got drink specials, including Guinnesses and mixed libations as well. Delicious eats catered by Calabria Catering. And music by the one and only DJ Rootin' Tootin' Billy Wooten. There also will be a performance by the finest pipe and drum band in all the land, the Pipes and Drums of the Emerald Society. And the Emerald Society Commissary will be available for all your shopping needs as well. So check that out. That's Thursday, April 25th. Unfortunately, I won't be there because I will be on my way to Buffalo, New York for the Irish Echo Irish American Heroes Awards. And I'll tell you all about that when I get back. But anyway, you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window, Ken's, Wrong's, Hart's, Daniel's, Great Irish Saloons, even the Cork and Carry, and I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, hey, Ole! Oh, darn. Frank Cullen, 92, beloved husband of Marilyn, loving father of Kathleen, Maura, and Margaret, Frank will be remembered for his strong faith and deep love of family and friends. We will carry with us his hearty laugh, generous spirit, strong worth ethic, and love of gatherings. His Maryland love, 3 daughters and grandchildren were the light of his life. God rest his soul, Frank Cullen. Also want to, unfortunately, a friend of ours, Mike French, died just yesterday, I think it was. So say a prayer for him. God rest his soul, Mike French, a friend of ours here at the bunker. He did a lot of work at the bunker. Mary C. Howley, devoted wife of the late Thomas and loving mother of John, Mike, Jim, Mary Ann, and Ellen, dedicated teacher at St. Cajun Grammar School and a lifelong learner. God rest her soul, Mary C. Howley. Carmel Mullaly Powers of St. Charles, the widow of Stephen T. Powers, an architect. She was a native of Letterkenny County, Donegal. God rest her soul, Carmel Mullally Powers. Jane McGrath Nee O'Connor, age 82, from New Buffalo, formerly Flossmoor in Chicago's Beverly, Mount Greenwood neighborhood. She was a graduate of St. Sabina Catholic Grammar School. She attended St. Xavier's High School. St. Xavier had a high school? Graduating from Mother McCauley High School, wife for 61 years of Tim McGrath, and mother of John, Timothy, Molly, Terry, Michael, and Janie. God rest her soul, Jane O. McGrath. Maureen Haggerty, age 89. She attended Our Lady of Lourdes Grammar School, Immaculata High School. She graduated with a B.S. from DePaul College of Commerce in 1956. During her career, Maureen served in management positions for many associations.
One thing I've learned.
Okay. What the heck is that? Whoa. Hey, whoa. Maureen Haggerty, age 89, born in Chicago. Our Lady of Lourdes Grammar School, Immaculate High School. Got a B.S. from DePaul. During her career, Maureen served in management positions for many associations in the Chicagoland area. She was a member of the Chicago Society of Association Executives and I'm very proud of her Irish heritage. God rest her soul, Maureen Haggerty. Patricia O'Grady, 89, of Oak Lawn. Beloved wife of the late John J. O'Grady, mother to Beth, Joe, Patty, John, Rich, Bernie, Mike, and the late Henry. God rest her soul, Patricia O'Grady. Red Kennedy, Robert J. Red Kennedy, 79, a railroad engineer and switchman. He was first hired with the Rock Island Railroad in 1964, worked as a switchman until they closed in 1980. He was then hired by the Chicago Northwestern Railroad as a switchman. In 86, he joined the Belt Railway Company, was promoted to a locomotive engineer until his retirement. He was a member of the Piscateers Fishing Club in Dalton, where he had the title of billiards champion. Robert was a loving husband of the late Darlene and is survived by his children, Angela, Robert, Joseph, and three grandchildren. God rest his soul, Red Kennedy. Kevin Patrick O'Hare, age 55, of Joliet. Kevin was born in Joliet to the late William and Patricia. Beloved brother of his devoted siblings, William, Eileen, Colleen, and the late Tommy. Kevin was a graduate of Providence Catholic High School, class of 86. He was a roofer in the Will County area, and he was a great one. His favorite things to do were have a Miller Lite and talk politics or to go fishing. God rest his soul, Kevin Patrick O'Hare. Okay, let's close up the crypt, Billy, and take a little break, and we'll be right back for some Hooley Town, so stick around. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Deep
in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep.
All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks.
where they only spoke Yakida.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bones and bamboo. Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
Yeah.
Is almost 70 years we're talking.
70 years?
What?
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
Crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hooli Town.
Hooli Town.
Welcome to Hooli Town. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooli Town.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yes, welcome to Hooli Town. So great to be back in our favorite spot. And thank Greg Holland for the great intro. Just a couple of quickies for you. You know, my wife asked me, what are my plans for Easter? And I said, hey, the same as Jesus. I'm going to disappear Friday and then turn up on Monday. Okay. Dorothy's talking to her sister, Edna. You know that nice George Johnson asked me out for a date? I know you went out with him last week, and I want to talk to you with him about him before I give him my answer. And Edna says, well, I'll tell you. He showed up at my apartment punctually at 7 p.m., dressed like such a gentleman in a fine suit. He brings me beautiful flowers. Then he takes me downstairs, and what's there? A limousine, uniform chauffeur and all. Then he takes me out to dinner. Marvelous dinner, lobster, champagne, dessert, after dinner drinks. Then we go to a show. Let me tell you, Dorothy, I enjoyed it so much, I could have just died from pleasure. So then we're coming back to my apartment, and he turns into an animal. Completely crazy. He tears off my expensive new dress, and he has his way with me three times. Dorothy says, goodness gracious, so you're telling me I shouldn't go? Oh, no, I'm just saying wear an old dress. Okay. And now we have, these are some of the ads that we're seeing in British humor. Free puppies, one half Cocker Spaniel, half sneaky neighbor's dog. Okay. These are ads. Cows, calves, never bred, also one gay bull for sale. Wedding dress for sale, worn once by mistake, called Stephanie. Okay. Teacher says to the student, why are you late? Kid says, class started before I got here. That makes sense. Donald, what is the chemical formula for water? Donald, H-I-J-K-L-M-N-N-O. What are you talking about? Yesterday you said it's H2O. Oh, man, that lame. Winnie, name one important thing we have today that we didn't have 10 years ago. Winnie says, me. Okay. Teacher says, Glenn, why do you always get so dirty? Well, I'm a lot closer to the ground than you are. Okay, that's enough. Let's wrap it up. What a great show this week. I hope everybody has a terrific Easter. Don't forget to make your Easter duty. Make your Easter duty. I got to find a place where someone will actually withstand hearing my confession. But, next week, Alamo is on the show. The one and only James Duke, Alamo Lynch. So stick around, and we hope to see you all and have everybody have a happy Easter. God bless you all, and we'll see you later. Bye!
Just to see how far I was from